Throughout our lifetime, most of us will end up spending a large quantity of our time at work, either as an employee or as an employer. The average American will spend 90,000 hours at work over the course of their life. And so let that just sink in for a little bit. 90,000 hours of your existence here on this earth, most of us will spend that within our workplace. If the average workday is about 8 hours, that's 11,250 workdays. If we live to be 75 years old, then that's 41% of our days are spent at work. And that's a long time. That's a big chunk of our life that we're spending either behind a desk or we're trying to sell a product or whatever it might be. That's a long period of our life that we are spending at work. And therefore, here this morning, as we think about this subject, it behooves us that we ought to discover and learn what the Bible says about work. And what does the Bible teach us when it comes to the relationships that we have in our workplace, when it comes to the relationship between the employee and the employer, when it comes to the relationship amongst the co-workers, and then also what is the type of work ethic that we ought to have? And we live in a generation and a society here this morning that is teaching us that when we go to work, try to do the least amount of work possible and get the most that you can from your boss. And then on the opposite end of that, it's teaching the bosses try to give as little as you can and try to produce as much productivity from your workers. And so we constantly have a strained relationship within our workplaces. And here in the Bible confronts that. And the Bible teaches us here this morning the perspective that we ought to have as Christians when we go to the workplace, and then also the performance that we ought to have when we go to our workplace each and every day. And so here in Ephesians chapter number 6, Paul addresses this subject. And the context here is primarily about the slave and the master relationship. This was a prevalent relationship throughout the Roman world during the Bible times. And as we think about the relationship between a slave and a master, that wouldn't be directly applicable to us here this morning. But at the same time, there are principles and there are underlying truths that we find here within this passage that would extend to the relationship that we have between employers and employees. And so this morning, I want you to notice with me some biblical and practical truths on how we can have a healthy relationship with our work. And so first of all, notice with me as we study this passage in Ephesians chapter number 6, I find here first off the responsibilities of an employee. The responsibilities of an employee. And as we begin in verse number 5, it begins with a command. And God gives every employee a command. Every servant is given a command here in verse number 5. The Bible says, "Their servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart." And so the command and the mandate that God gives to every Christian employee and servant is that we would be submissive and obedient to our bosses and to our supervisors. And you see here this morning, it doesn't matter who our boss is. I'm sure many of us here this morning would say, "Pastor, but you don't know who my boss is. And Pastor, you don't understand my supervisor. And Pastor, you don't know who my employer is. If you worked in my place, you would not be subservient to that employer at my company." But you see, the Bible teaches us here this morning that it doesn't matter if we have a cruel boss or a kind boss. It doesn't matter here this morning if we have a Christian boss or an atheist boss. It doesn't matter here this morning who we work under. We are commanded by God to be subservient to our employers and supervisors. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that we violate biblical principles. That doesn't mean that we obey and serve our boss if they ask us to do something that is unethical, or if they ask us to do something that goes against godly principles in the Word of God, or if they ask us to engage in some type of illegal practices. That's the place that we draw the line, and at that point, as Christians, we ought to obey God rather than men. There also might be situations within our workplace where it becomes intolerable. Where the environment and the atmosphere is unhealthy for our spiritual health. And at that point, we'd have to pray about that and seek the wisdom of God and possibly begin seeking for new employment and give that boss enough notice before we quit. And so there are some different types of circumstances that we have when it comes to our workplace. But as long as we are employed, and as long as we are receiving a paycheck, the Bible teaches we ought to obey and be subject to our boss no matter what kind of boss he or she is. And the Bible is very clear about that. In 1 Peter, chapter number 2, starting in verse number 18, the Bible says, "Their servants, be subject to your masters with all fear." That means with respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." And so the biblical command that we find here in the Scriptures is that all of us as employees ought to be obedient and submissive to our employer. And that is the biblical principle that God gives us. On top of that, I want you to notice here that God goes even further, and he speaks about not only our actions, but he also speaks about our attitude towards our boss. And so the Bible teaches us here this morning that we are to obey, and as we obey, we ought not to obey dragging our feet. As we obey, we ought not to obey gossiping about the boss and grumbling within our hearts, but the Bible teaches us here this morning that we must obey our boss, and we must be subservient to our boss with a spirit of honor. And so it says there in verse number 5, in the middle portion, it says, "with fear and trembling." Now, those words there doesn't speak about terror. It doesn't mean that we're supposed to be afraid of our boss and be frightened every single time he or she appears in the room. But what it does teach us here this morning is that as Christians today, we are to obey our employer with fear and trembling, meaning we are to serve our boss with respect and honor. Now, you see here this morning, you might come back to me after the service and say, "Pastor, you don't know my boss. He's not respectable, or she's not respectable. You don't know my employer. They are not honorable in the things that they do." Nevertheless, we are commanded to respect and honor their position as one placed in authority above us. And so that is the biblical command. If you do not agree with that here this morning, then your conflict is not with me, but it's with the Lord. Because that's what God has commanded us as Christians here this morning. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed." And so God says, as servants, as employees, you have to obey, you have to serve your masters, and as you do it, you have to do it with a spirit of honor. And as you do it with respect, as you do it with honor towards your boss, that is something that is pleasing in the sight of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible teaches us here this morning the biblical principle, the command, we need to obey and serve our boss. We need to do it with a spirit of honor. And then it goes even further. We need to do it with a singleness of heart, the Bible says. And in that same verse, it continues there. It says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart." That word singleness means sincerity. This speaks about wholehearted dedication. This speaks about being wholly committed to the employer's gain and advantage. This means to be wholly committed to the supervisor's gain and advantage, to serve the boss, to serve the supervisor, not grudgingly, but with a sincere desire to seek the best interest of the person or the people that have authority over you within your place of employment. And that's what God is commanding. So he says, do it with the spirit of honor, with fear and trembling. Do it with the singleness of heart, with sincerity, that you desire the well-being, That you desire that your boss would be profitable, that you desire that your supervisor would be successful. Do it with that spirit to be a blessing for the best benefit of those in authority above you. And that is the command that we find here within the scriptures. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7, here in this text, it also says, serve your masters with good will, doing service. And those words there, good will, means good intentions. It means with kindness. It means with benevolence towards those in authority above you. I think about the example of Naaman's little maid. And we find that story in 2 Kings chapter number 5. Naaman was the captain of the host of Syria. These were the enemies of the Israelites. And the Bible teaches that they attacked Israel, and Naaman, the general, the captain of the host of the armies of Syria, took as captive, he kidnapped a little girl from Israel, and then he used her as a slave, as a servant to his wife within his household. This little maid could have gotten bitter about that. This little maid could have gotten angry about that. She was taken from her home. She was taken captive by this man by the name of Naaman, and now she's being used as a slave unto Naaman's wife. And so she could have had a spirit of animosity towards her boss, but then we find here within the scriptures when Naaman finds out that he has leprosy, the response of the little maid wasn't, well, praise the Lord, he finally got what was coming to him. And sometimes that's our spirit. When something goes wrong with the supervisor, something goes wrong with the boss, well, they had it coming. That's what they deserve for how they treated me in my life. This is just retribution for what they did. And sometimes we can develop that type of spirit. But I want you to notice the maturity of this little maid that we find in 2 Kings chapter number 5. When she found out that her master, who had kidnapped her, that had taken her from her home and was using her as a slave, when she found out that he was a leper, she led him to the prophet Elisha that he might be healed. That was her heart. That was her spirit for her master. And the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse number 2, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Naaman's wife here, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And you see, that's the type of spirit and heart we ought to have as employees. Our employers, our supervisors might not be very caring. They might not be even fair. They might be crude and unreasonable. Nevertheless, as Christians, we are commanded by God to serve them, to be obedient unto them, and then to do that with the right spirit and with the right heart, a spirit of humility, a spirit of honor towards our boss, and then a sincerity, a singleness within our heart to see the benefit of our employer and our supervisor. And that is completely contradictory to what the world teaches. But that is what the Bible teaches. And the Bible says it doesn't matter if they're crude. It doesn't matter if they're froward. It doesn't matter if they're a Christian. It doesn't matter if they're an atheist. It doesn't matter if they're fair, if they're unfair. If you are under that boss as a Christian, your commandment is to be obedient and subservient to that boss. As long as it doesn't break biblical commandments, we are to serve that boss with honor and with the singleness of heart. Sincerity to see our boss be blessed by our labor and sacrifice. And so we find here the command that God gives us. It's not an easy command. Let's be transparent about that. It's a very difficult command, and that's why earlier within Ephesians, the Bible teaches us you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God if you're going to live that type of submissive life towards your boss. And so we find here, first of all, the command, a spirit of honor, the singleness of heart. But then I want you to notice the next responsibility as we think about the employee. Not only do we find the command, but then God gives us now the cause. And I want you to notice with me the reason. I want you to notice with me the motivation. In verse number 5, the Bible says, servants, be obedient unto them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. If you have your Bibles open, I want you to read those last three words with me loud and clear. Ready, begin. As unto Christ. Read that again one more time. As unto Christ, that's the cause. And that's the motivation. You see, throughout the book of Ephesians, Paul here addresses several different types of relationships. And he speaks about authority. He speaks about order. He speaks about leadership. He speaks about those that are under authority and how they ought to be submissive to that order that God has placed. I think about Ephesians 5:22. The Bible says, as he addresses the family, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And then at the end, he gives the power or the cause of doing that as unto the Lord. Right? That's the commandment of God, as unto the Lord. For the Lord, you ought to obey this command. I think about Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1. It says, it speaks about children being obedient to parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so you do it through the power of God. You do it through the grace of God. You do it through the filling of the Holy Spirit. And you do it unto the Lord. You're not primarily doing it for parents. You're not primarily doing it for your husband, but you're doing it for the Lord. You're obeying the command of God as the Lord has commanded us within the scriptures. And therefore, throughout this passage, as we think about the relationship between servants and masters, employees and employers, it says there in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. And Paul emphasizes this over and over, every single verse. In verse number 7, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. And so Paul teaches us that we ought to obey and submit to our bosses and employers with a spirit of honor and a heart of singleness, ultimately because we are not serving them, but ultimately as Christians here this morning, we are serving the Lord. We're being submissive as unto the Lord. We're being obedient as unto the Lord. And therefore, if we would approach our work with that truth in mind and with the end goal that we're not just trying to make a paycheck, with the end goal that we're not just trying to impress the boss and move up the ladder of our corporation, but if we go in there with this truth in mind that we're doing this unto the Lord, that the work that I do, I'm doing this as unto the Lord. If we go in there with that mind within us, then we can do it for the glory of God, and that motivates us to labor diligently and joyfully in our workplaces for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when our boss tells us to do something, when our boss asks us to stay overtime, we're not doing it as unto the boss. We're doing that labor as unto the Lord. And if we do it for the glory of God and we do it with the right intentions and the motivations within our heart, then the Lord is pleased with that and the Lord is glorified in the labor that we do. And so we must always remember that. And that's what the Bible teaches us. You are to obey your masters, be submissive to your boss as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Howard Hendricks was a professor at the Dallas Theological Seminary. And he traveled so often, and he flew so often throughout the weeks on American Airlines, that American Airlines asked him to be a kind of an inspector. And so as he rode those planes, he would write down some reports, and he would critique that flight, and then he would give those reports to the managers over at American Airlines. He told a story about one flight where the stewardess was doing a wonderful job. The weather was rough outside. They had a lot of turbulence. There was crying babies throughout the cabin. There were drunk businessmen, but nothing seemed to stop her joy. She was going from row to row, and she was smiling, and as they were saying things harsh back to her, she would respond with grace, and she was just having a wonderful spirit as she was serving the people on that flight. And so at the end of the flight, Mr. Hendricks stopped this stewardess, and he told her that he was going to write some good things about her to American Airlines. And upon hearing that, she replied, she said, "Well, Mr. Hendricks, I do not work for American Airlines." And seeing that he was puzzled, she continued, she said, "I am a Christian and I work for my Savior, Jesus Christ." And you see, that's the command of God. It doesn't matter if you punch numbers at work. It doesn't matter if you're fixing the plumbing. It doesn't matter if you're selling a product. It doesn't matter if you're giving a presentation to an executive board. It doesn't matter what you do in your workplace. If you do it with the right motivations and you do it for the glory of God, then God says, that's unto the Lord, and he's pleased with that. And that's the spirit and the attitude that we ought to have. If it's always just a paycheck at the end of the week or at the end of the month, if it's always just to impress the boss, then we're just going to do just enough to get by so that we can receive that type of remuneration in our life. But you see, if we do it as unto the Lord, then we labor diligently. If we do it as unto the Lord, then we give our strength in everything that we do within our workplace. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, it says, "Where there therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Everything ought to be done for the glory of God, and we ought to do it heartily unto the Lord. And therefore, we ought to be diligent. We ought to have the right work ethic. We ought to go the extra mile, that our work, the quality of our work, might be a testimony to a lost world concerning the influence of Jesus Christ within our lives. And Warren Wiersbe said, "The best way to be a witness on the job is to do a good day's work." In Titus chapter number 2, verse number 9, the Bible says, "Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things." And so all of us, every single day as you go to the workplace, we are ministers of God. Our mission field is our workplace. Our mission field is our department. Our mission field is our floor, and our message is the quality of our work and the spirit and how we go about doing our work every single day. Somebody said, every Christian, we're like a gospel. We're a walking gospel. We're a walking testimony of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only testimony of Christ that some people will ever see in our workplaces is us. And I wonder here this morning, if we interviewed your coworkers, if we interviewed your colleagues at your workplace, I wonder if they would say, yes, that person works with the Spirit of grace. That person is diligent. That person never says anything negative about their boss. That person, they do it with all their might. That person reminds me of Jesus Christ. I wonder, is that our testimony here this morning? Or would our coworkers say, well, he just kind of curses with the rest of us. She just kind of slacks off with the rest of us. They're always at the gossiping together at the water cooler. We're all just kind of on the same level. Is that the type of testimony that we have? Or do we have a different testimony for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? And so the Bible says here, there's a command. We need to obey. We need to be subservient to our boss. But then there's the cause. It's as unto the Lord. And then I want you to notice with me in verse number 6 and 7, we find here the character of our work. And the Bible says here, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. And Paul speaks about the character of the Christian worker. And he speaks about the fact that we are not to only work hard when the boss is around and then become slack and idle when he or she is no longer there, but we must always remember that God, as our ultimate boss, is watching at all times. And therefore, we must always labor diligently, and we must always work earnestly for our boss with character, not wasting the company's time or wasting the company's money. I think about some appalling statistics, and some of you might know more about this, but I think about the average worker in the United States of America admits to wasting 3 hours per workday in activity unrelated to their work. And this might be more or less at your workplace, but this is just the average across the board. 44% of employees say they waste their time web surfing on social media at their workplace. 23% of employees say that they waste time socializing with other coworkers. 4% of employees say that they waste time spacing out or just daydreaming. 64% of workers admit to using the internet for personal purposes. I wonder here this morning, if we took a survey, how many hands would go up? Yes, I use my work internet for my personal purposes. 60% made personal online purchases at work. 65% of YouTube viewers are watching between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m., which is during work hours. The average cost to the American employers from employees wasting time on the internet is $759 billion per week. And although this might be the norm for the average employee, although this might be the culture of your workplace, when the bosses there work hard, but as soon as the cat's away, the mice will play. That might be the spirit of the place that you work, but that ought not to be the character of a born-again believer here this morning. And we as Christians must be different. And we as Christians must not waste the time of our company and of our boss, but we must be diligent at all times in what God has called us to do within our workplace. In Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, the Bible says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." And a Christian must be an employee that faithfully performs his or her job at all times. Whether or not they're being evaluated by an employer or a supervisor, we must not adhere to laziness. We must not adhere to having a spirit of duplicity, but we must be employees with integrity and with character. I think about what John Wooden said. He was the very successful coach of the UCLA basketball team. He said, "Be more concerned with your character than your reputation." I think today, a lot of times, that's backwards. Oftentimes, we in our workplaces, we're concerned about our reputation. Do I look good? Does my boss think good about me? Do my coworkers? And that's kind of all we care about. But John Wooden said here, "Be more concerned with your character than your reputation, because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are. The true test of a man's character is what he does when no one is watching." And I wonder, how's our character in our workplace? When nobody's around, when the supervisors are gone, when the boss doesn't walk through anymore, how's our character before the Lord? It says there in Ephesians 6:6, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ." And then this is important. I want you to notice with me the latter portion of this verse. It says, "Doing the will of God from the heart." This means to waste time at work when we are purposely choosing to slack off instead of being diligent. We are being rebellious not only to the company policies, we are being rebellious not only to the boss's wishes, but the Bible teaches us here, we are being rebellious to the will of God. God says, "My desire and my will for you as a Christian employee is that you'd be diligent, that you would have integrity, that you would have character, and that you would do it with all thy might when you labor at your workplace." And so we find here that God gives us the command. He gives us the cause. He gives us the character that we ought to have. And then I want you to notice with me here, as we think about the employee, we find here the compensation. The compensation. And in verse number 8, the Bible says, "Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free." And you see, the payday for the Christian is not at the end of the week or even at the end of the month. But payday for the Christian is at the end of our lives. And you see, God might reward us along the way, and oftentimes he does, but ultimately these earthly blessings are just a token of what is to come in the life to come with the Lord. And if we work according to God's will, abiding by biblical principles, with a pure heart motivated to bring glory to God, then the Bible says there are rewards in heaven for you. And oftentimes we speak about the rewards for those faithful pastors and the crowns that they would receive. And oftentimes we speak about the reward for those that give their life in martyrdom for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. But at the same time, the Bible says here, if we do our labor, if that's what God has called us to do, whatever position it might be, if we do that to the best of our ability, and we do that not for self and not even for the boss, but we do that ultimately for the glory of God, and we do it with diligence with all our might, then God says, "I am watching all of that." And God says, "I keep perfect records of everything that you do." And it doesn't matter if your boss doesn't recognize you. It doesn't matter if management doesn't recognize you. He says, "One day your payday is coming. One day I will recognize you for your faithfulness and your labor in the place that God has called you to serve. One author said, no good thing done in his name and for his glory can pass his notice or fail to receive his blessing. And we must always keep that in mind as we labor, as we serve, as we work in our workplaces. Ultimately, our boss is watching from heaven. And he's keeping an accurate account of everything that we do. And he's examining the heart, the motivation of why we do what we do. And we labor not for the paycheck, but we labor for the payday that we receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. A story is told of an elderly missionary couple who were returning home after decades of serving the Lord in Africa. On the same ship as they were coming back to the New York Harbor, on that same ship there was President Theodore Roosevelt, who had just completed a successful hunting expedition in Africa. As that ship docked at the New York Harbor, there were thousands of well-wishers and dozens of reporters lining the pier to welcome home President Roosevelt. But there was not even one single person who had come out to welcome the missionaries who had given over 40 years of their life to win souls in the country of Africa. And so after the entourage and the president got off of that ship and after all the reporters began to dissipate, the missionary couple hailed down a taxi and they got into a very cheap motel. And that evening, as they were spending that night in that motel, that missionary, the husband, got just a little bit agitated. And he leaned over to his wife and he said these words. He said, "It just doesn't seem right." He said, "We give 40 years of our lives to Jesus Christ, winning souls in Africa, and nobody knows or cares when we return home. But the president goes over for a few weeks to kill some animals, and the whole world takes notice. It just doesn't seem fair." The godly wife listened patiently, and then she replied to her husband, and she said, "Why don't you go out to the living area, and why don't you just get on your face and tell the Lord about all of these things that you told me?" And so that husband stepped out of that room and he got out to the living area of that motel room and he began praying to the Lord. He began casting all of his burdens and all of his complaints to the Lord. And then after a few moments, he came back into the room, but this time he had a big smile on his face. And the wife asked what had happened, and this was how he replied to his wife. He said, "I told the Lord the whole thing. I told him that it's not fair. I told him how I was bitter because the president received this tremendous homecoming when no one met us when we returned home. And you know, as I finished, it seemed as though the Lord put his hand on my shoulder, and the Lord simply said to me, 'But son, you're not home yet.'" And we have to always remember that as well. And sometimes we're craving for the recognition of management. Sometimes we're craving for some rewards for the labor that we did. But God says your reward is ultimately in heaven. And God says even in your workplace, right, even within a secular job, if you are doing it for the Lord, if you're diligently doing it for the glory of God, that your life and the quality of your work would be a testimony to others concerning Jesus Christ, God says that's a spiritual work, and I will bless that. I will reward you when you come to heaven. I will recognize you for the labor that you did for my sake and for my name. And so we find here, first of all, the responsibilities of an employee. But then I want you to notice, secondly, and just 2 points here this morning, I find next in one verse, the responsibilities of an employer. The responsibilities of an employer or a supervisor, a boss, somebody in a place of authority. And first of all, we find here in verse number 1 or verse number 9 here, they must not abuse his or her power. The employer, the supervisor, must not abuse his or her power. It says there in verse number 9, "And ye masters, do the same things unto them," unto the servants, unto the employees, "forbearing, threatening." And the same things here is speaking about the disposition that the employee has towards his or her boss, the respect that the employee gives towards the boss. He's saying here, the same thing. You ought to return that type of disposition. You ought to return that type of respect when it comes to your employees, and you ought to exercise your position with the motivation and the goals as a Christian worker to ultimately bring glory and honor to the Lord. And so just as the employee submits as unto the Lord, you as an employer or as a manager, you lead and manage as unto the Lord. And as we think about this truth here this morning, it speaks about leading and managing, not with intimidation, not from a position of fear, threatening the people that are under your authority, but it speaks about leading with grace and leading with moderation. I think about what John Phillips said. He said, love, not force or fear, is the best way to encourage people to work. Force and fear, the weapons most often used by masters and employers, are counterproductive in the end because they breed resentment and rage. Now, this doesn't mean that a boss or supervisor cannot exercise correction or exercise punishment when it is necessary, but it must be done with a spirit of respect, and it must be done with a spirit of kindness, without threatenings, not trying to force an employee to serve or to produce more through intimidation because of a position of power. And oftentimes, that's what employers and supervisors tend to do. They abuse their power and treat employees with disrespect and without decency, and they create a culture of hostility, they create a culture of fear, and they create a culture with a high rate of turnover within their department or corporation. I think about the statistics here this morning. 89% of employers, of bosses, think that employees leave for more money. 89% of them believe that their employees quit because they're seeking for more money, they're seeking for a raise, but in actuality, only 12% actually leave seeking for higher pay. 75% of employees leave their jobs because of their boss. They say that the employees do not leave a company, they leave their boss. Oftentimes, because somebody who has power, oftentimes somebody who has a title, oftentimes somebody who is the owner or somebody who is the president or somebody who is the supervisor, they are managing from a position where they are abusing their power and they're threatening and they're coercing their workers to do things so that they would produce, but it's not in a spirit of grace and in a spirit of humility. And you see, as a Christian manager, if you are a manager this morning, if you are an employer this morning, if you are in a position of authority here this morning, let me challenge you from the scriptures that as a Christian manager or boss, we ought to lead like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not a dictatorial, authoritarian type of leadership, but it's a leadership that is full of grace and a leadership that is full of truth. You see, Jesus was never a pushover. When he needed to confront people, he confronted people. When he needed to draw the line, he drew the line. When he needed to rebuke some people, he rebuked some people. He was not a pushover, but whenever he did it with patience. He did it with a spirit of love. He did it respectfully, and he did it with grace. And the Bible says in John 1:14 that Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. And that ought to be the spirit. If you've been blessed in that position, where you've been placed in a position where you have some power, where you have some authority, where you're leading a team, where you're supervising a department, whatever the situation might be, don't follow the world's model, but follow the model that we find in the scriptures. Be a servant leader, and be a leader that's leading with grace and truth, just like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we must not abuse our power within that position. And then finally here this morning, I want you to notice with me, we must acknowledge our position. We must acknowledge our position. And this is what it says here in closing in verse number 9. It says, knowing, acknowledging that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. And in closing, Paul reminds us here that everybody, employees and employers, workers and bosses, servants and masters, we all have a heavenly master. We all have a heavenly boss, and that is God. And he's teaching us here that we will all one day stand before the master, and we will give an account of how we served as an employee. We will give an account of how we managed or led as an employer. And on that day, it doesn't matter what position you had on earth, on that day, it doesn't matter what type of wealth or power you had in this life, on that day, the Bible teaches there is no respect of persons with God, meaning that he is impartial to our earthly status. It does not matter if you're the boss. It does not matter if you're the CEO. It does not matter if you're the worker. It does not matter if you're part of management or if you're part of the laborers. It does not matter who you were in this life. When you stand before God, the only thing that's going to matter is, did you serve and did you lead according to the principles that we find here in the Word of God? And so God is challenging, admonishing these masters that were being cruel, these supervisors that were abusing their power. And he says, remember, you too have a master. You too one day will give an account unto the heavenly master, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for all of us here this morning, whether you are an employee, whether you are an employer, whether you're retired, wherever you might be in this situation, the Bible teaches for all of us there is coming a day of judgment. And the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And on that day, the most important thing isn't necessarily how we served at our jobs. It's not necessarily how we led or how we managed. But on that day, the most important thing is, what did we do with Jesus Christ? You see, all of us have a master, and all of us one day will give an account to God. And the only thing that will matter at that moment is, what did we do in this life with Jesus Christ? And the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And the Bible teaches that we're all sinners before God. The Bible teaches that nobody is perfect, and therefore we are guilty before a holy God, and we are all deserving of judgment in a place called hell. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one.